Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If there was a memorial service for my life, for your life, wouldn't you want it to be exactly like what we saw at Staples Center on Monday? And I don't mean the celebrities. I don't mean the famous people who sang or who spoke or who showed up in their Sunday best. I don't mean the household names that we all could spit out right now. The Michael Jordans, the Shaqs, the Diana Taurasi's, the Greg Popovich's, the Phil Jackson's, the Beyoncé's, the Alicia Keys. Yeah, it was a who's who, but that's not what I mean. If there's a memorial service for my life, I would want it to be just like what we saw, because it was sincere and it was full of compassion and it was doused in tears, but it also included smiles, laughter, stories that the public wouldn't have known without these people so close to Kobe Bryant who are willing to share them. I've watched Vanessa Bryant stand on that stage multiple times, listen to her comments about her daughter and her husband. She called them her sunshine and her soulmate, called Kobe her everything, and shared stories that we would never hear any other way except in this moment. And I am not only grateful that she had the bravery and determination to stand up there and talk about the husband and daughter she lost, but also so grateful that she gave us a peek behind the curtain of the guy that we'll remember in many cases as a basketball icon. But the people gathered together at Staples Center on Monday heard about the dad, the husband, the friend, as Michael Jordan called him, the little brother, the teammate. Yeah, some of those stories we know and we recognize, and they go along with the public persona of Kobe Bryant. The stories that Shaq told, we'll let you hear a couple of them. Hysterical. But there was so much more to Kobe Bryant. And I just kept thinking, as Vanessa was talking, as Sabrina Ionescu, was talking about this unexpected relationship that she had with Kobe and Gianna, as Rob Pelinka was talking about their friendship, and as Staples Center is full of thousands and thousands of people, I kept thinking, I hope Kobe knew what an impact he made on the people around him. Sure, he knew about his basketball legacy. He cared about that. He always wanted to be the best. He wanted to be the greatest. He knew all about that. But what about the impact that he made on other players that he took the time to talk to, encourage, watch film with? We've heard stories about that. there were little pieces of Kobe Bryant scattered all over the United States in the form of those he taught, those he texted, those he supported, those he cheered on, those he helped. Rob Pelinka's story of the last few texts that he got from Kobe Bryant while Kobe was on the helicopter, while they were trying to get out of that fog and out of the clouds and to safety. Man, that really hit home. But I just kept thinking, I hope all the people, actually some of the people, just some of the people told Kobe that he knew what an impact he made on them. And it made me want to tell the people in my life what an impact they've made on me while I still have an opportunity. It's not just about saying I love you. It's not just about saying I care about you. And those things are really important. But I wonder if the people who've come alongside me in my journey, in many cases, have supported, encouraged, taught me, stuck with me, if they realize how much they've impacted my career, but also who I am. And Kobe Bryant impacted so many people. Not just the famous, not just the superstars, the celebrities. Yeah, he rubbed elbows with all of those people too. But there were many who were impacted by Kobe Bryant in a different way because he chose to come alongside, share some of his wisdom, share some of his experience, make sure that he didn't waste the gifts that he had been given. Pretty amazing. It was sincere. It was full of love. It was full of pain, of course. And yet, it was a Staples Center that was full of people whose lives will never be the same. And that's what really stood out to me. It's not just about Kobe Bryant, the basketball player. Sure, the fans were there for that. And I'm glad they had an opportunity to hear from people who knew Kobe the best, to chant, Kobe, Kobe, like they did so many times when he was dominating on that basketball court. So yeah, great to have the fans on hand. Neat for them. So many of them who paid tribute to him with gifts and flowers and basketballs and candles, who've supported Vanessa Bryant and her daughters with their prayers and just their tributes. So it's great for them. But also an opportunity for the people that Kobe helped and affected to let everybody know this is who he was away from the spotlight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. If you had a chance to watch what you saw inside Staples Center, what stands out to you, we're going to spend some time in Los Angeles coming up here in the next half hour. Someone who was inside Staples Center and had the opportunity to watch everything and listen to everything that was going on. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Wasn't sure, honestly, because there weren't a whole lot of details that were released. I wasn't sure how many of the basketball community would be there, or how much space would be given to the who's who in basketball as opposed to the fans. And I still don't know how Vanessa Bryant stood up there and spoke the way that she did. We'll let you hear from her coming up here in a couple minutes. But it was really neat that they held it at a time when even players who had their own responsibilities. Even Oregon's Sabrina Ionescu, who had a game hours later, she was able to be there and to speak. The Clippers, they hosted a game there hours later. So it was the perfect timing so that a lot of people who wanted to attend could. Interestingly enough, and it never really dawned on me while I was watching, but interestingly enough, no one can really confirm whether or not LeBron James was there. He's obviously taken the death of Kobe really hard, like others have who knew him. I was a little surprised that he didn't speak, but also his agent hasn't said whether or not he was in the building, only that LeBron was remembering Kobe in his own space, I think is what he said. I think that was the term that he used. He certainly has spoken out about the relationship with Kobe Bryant. So it's not meant to be a criticism, only that I thought it was interesting that he didn't want people to know if he was there or wasn't there. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I think the tributes that I appreciated the most were Michael Jordan. We don't hear from him very often. Certainly not in this type of public capacity. Every now and then he'll do a press conference or he'll weigh in on a major topic in sports, in basketball. But to hear him talk about Kobe as his little brother, I thought that was interesting when you're talking about two of the greats. Of course, Shaq's stories were hysterical because that's Shaq. And he has so much emotion packed into it. He once again mentioned that he thought he'd be doing this on the stage at Kobe's Hall of Fame induction. So there were a lot of people with their own stories, a lot of people who probably could tell stories and either didn't want to or they just didn't have enough time to get to everyone. About 2 hours with 33,643 red roses. One for every point scored during Kobe's 20 years in the NBA. His dad was there. Haven't seen a whole lot of his dad. But his dad was there and got a huge hug from Shaq. So I want you to hear a little bit, but I'd love to hear from you if you watched it, if you had an opportunity. I know for people who work regular banker hours, I shouldn't say regular, for people who work banker hours, there's a lot of people who don't work banker hours. Hello. It would have been hard to watch, but it's all over NBA TV. In fact, I have it up right now in the studio. And I know ESPN is running a bunch of it overnight as well. It's definitely worth watching if you loved basketball, but even more so if you want to hear what Kobe was like away from the spotlight when he wasn't dropping 81 and sticking that bottom lip out, baring those teeth, those eyes that would bore a hole in your head, the arrogance like a badge of honor because he knew he could back it up. It used to annoy me so much. But hearing from these other people, again, who could tell stories about what he was like away from the court, it was good. It was good to hear it. Obviously, some healing to it, cathartic. I hope he knew. That's what I kept thinking. I hope he knew.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Kobe and I pushed one another to play some of the greatest basketball of all time, and I am proud that no other team has accomplished what the three-peat Lakers have done since Shaq and the Kobe Lakers did it. And yes, sometimes like immature kids, we argued, we fought, we bantered or insulted each other with offhand remarks, our feud, but make no mistake, even when the folks thought we were on bad terms, when the cameras were turned off, he and I would throw a wink at each other and say, let's go whoop some ass. We never took it seriously. In truth, Kobe and I always maintained a deep respect and a love for one another. The day Kobe gained my respect was the guys were complaining. I said, Shaq, Kobe's not passing the ball. I said, I'll talk to him. I said, Kobe, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, I know, but there's an ME in that. So I went back and told Rick and Big Shot Bob, I said, just get the rebound. He's not passing.
Good. Shaq is he's a guy that has spoken a couple times since Kobe Bryant passed. It's been a month. And his stories I appreciate more because they reveal the human side of Kobe that we didn't see as much, but I didn't appreciate when he was playing. I mean, I've said this before, it's not a secret. Going back to my previous network, I couldn't stand Kobe Bryant as a player. For a lot of reasons that aren't worth mentioning. But Shaquille O'Neal makes him human and makes their relationship so real that you recognize there are a lot of people in their own work situations, maybe in their own families, who have similar conflicts and yet they had a relationship that lasted. They had a relationship that they fixed multiple times, and that lasted. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'll talk to him. It says, hey, Kobe, there's no I in team. I know, but there's an M-E. Well, in a word I don't say. I love that Shaq just went back to his fellow teammates and was like, sorry, man, you're just going to have to get the rebound because he's not passing. Michael Jordan, he spent the entire time on the stage with tears running down his cheeks. And it was really neat to hear him talk about a relationship with Kobe that I think a lot of people didn't even know existed.
He used to call me, text me, 11:30, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. Talking about post-up moves, footwork, and sometimes the triangle. At first, it was an aggravation. But then it turned into a certain passion. This kid had passion like you would never know. And it's an amazing thing about passion. If you love something, if you have a strong passion for something, you would go to the extreme to try to understand or try to get it. Either ice cream, Cokes, hamburgers, whatever you have a love for. If you have to walk, you would go get it. If you have to beg someone, you would go get it. What Kobe Bryant was to me was the inspiration that someone truly cared about the way I played the game or the way that he wanted to play the game.
Michael Jordan giving people a rare peek behind the curtain about Kobe Bryant and their relationship, called him that annoying little brother, and that at first it wasn't anything like that. He just couldn't get rid of this guy. It was annoying, he said. And yet it developed into a great friendship where he was able to bestow a lot of his wisdom and his experience on Kobe. And it's clear that Kobe wanted to play that same role for today's generation of players. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Shaq produced some laughs. Vanessa Bryant definitely did. You'll hear from her coming up here momentarily. The moment that brought the house down, though, was a crying Michael Jordan talking about a crying Michael Jordan.
Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crying meme for the Knicks. I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years.
Can I tell you the truth? I didn't even look. I hope the internet didn't come up with more crying Jordan memes based on what we saw on Monday. I really hope. But because I appreciated Jordan getting up there and speaking, and again, we don't often have that access to him, and really, he's very private, and he keeps most of his thoughts to himself. I hope that it wasn't spoiled, but if the internet did spoil it, I didn't want to see it. Vanessa Bryant divided her time on stage between talking about her daughter and talking about Kobe. And we'll let you hear what she said about her sweet Gigi. A smile like sunshine. It was really amazing. Very moving. I don't know how she did it. But because we're talking about Kobe here, I want you to hear what she had to say about the guy she called her soulmate, the one she met when she was 17 and a half.
Kobe was known as a fierce competitor on the basketball court. The greatest of all time, a writer, an Oscar winner, and the Black Mamba. But to me, he was Kobe, my boo-boo, my babe-boo, my Bobby Chulo. I was his VB, his Principessa, his reina, his queen mamba, and his viski, maniski, fabuliski. He was the early bird, and I was the night owl. I was fire, and he was ice, and vice versa at times. We balanced each other out. He would do anything for me. I have no idea how I deserved a man that loved and wanted me more than Kobe. He was charismatic, a gentleman. He was loving, adoring, and romantic. He was truly the romantic one in our relationship and looked forward to Valentine's Day and our anniversaries every year. He planned special anniversary trips and a special traditional gift for every year of our marriage. He even handmade my most treasured gifts. He just thought outside the box and was so thoughtful, even while working hard to be the best athlete. He gave to me the actual notebook and the blue dress Rachel McAdams wore in the Notebook movie. When I asked him why he chose the blue dress, he said it was because it's a scene when Allie comes back to Noah. We had hoped to grow old together like the movie. We really had an amazing love story.
Just a piece of Vanessa Bryant's tribute to her husband. And she told some really private stories, also stories that got laughs, like how when Kobe took over driving the girls to school and picking them up, they warned him that he needed to be there an hour early, that he needed to be an hour ahead of time. And the first time he was late, the girls and Vanessa let him know about it. And from that point on, he was there an hour and 20 minutes early. True to form with Kobe Bryant needing to be the best at everything. I admire her courage and her determination, and I hope that it offered her some healing as well. So I not only can't imagine what she's going through, but I don't know that I would have been able to stand up there and even get the words out. But it was good to hear from her. I think the world wanted to hear from Vanessa, the mommy and the wife, for the two that were lost 30 days ago, plus seven others in that helicopter crash. Their names were read at the beginning before Beyonce got on the stage. Coming up next, we're going to spend some time in Los Angeles. A Lakers insider who was there at the memorial service on Monday. It was Monday morning, Los Angeles time, and I hope you've had a chance to watch some of it. If not, I didn't have a chance to watch all of it, and so I was able to go back and... Whether you saw it on NBA TV, which is where I happened to catch it, or whether you check out YouTube and you can watch the various tributes and some of the videos, the music, it's all there. It's worth the time, even if you didn't ever see Kobe play basketball or he wasn't your favorite. It was the type of memorial service that was exactly what the family needed, but also was full of sincerity and compassion and kindness and laughs and tears. And as I think Doc Rivers said after the fact on Monday evening, because the Clippers played, he believed there was some catharsis, so some healing, quality and healing power in them all getting together like they did.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other. He had to bring them home to heaven together. Babe, you take care of our Gigi. And I got Nani, Bibi, and Coco. We're still the best team.
A few of the words from Vanessa Bryant at the end of her comments about Gigi and Kobe on Monday at Staples Center before it was turned back into a basketball arena. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Kyle Goon, who covers the Lakers for Southern California News Group, was there inside Staples Center on Monday morning. Kyle, what will you remember about this memorial service for Kobe?
I think you guys just played it. Going into today, we weren't told a lot of what to expect. I think we knew there were going to be, speakers who knew Kobe really well. We knew there were going to be celebrity performances. I don't know if we were sure that Vanessa was going to speak. And, she talked for 20 minutes telling these deeply personal stories about Gianna and Kobe. And honestly, even though, the last month has been about telling Kobe stories and Gianna stories, I mean, only she knew some of the things that she said on stage,
right,
for everyone. And it was kind of, I just kind of couldn't believe it. When you think about what she's been through, how hard that must have been, kind of letting people in. And that kind of took my breath away, to be honest with you, Amy.
So you knew she was going to be there, but didn't know whether or not she was going to get on stage?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, when you think about the stuff she said, I mean, she told a story about, Gigi giving her a kiss every morning and every night and kissing her when she was asleep and, Kobe picking up the kids and after he was late one time, showing an hour and 20 minutes early to every time he had to pick up the kids at school and his retirement and all the plans they had for when they would be able to travel together and how she really regretted that, they wouldn't be able to do so many things together as a family. It was completely heartbreaking. And it gives you sort of a picture into just how much this family has been hurt, by this tragedy and sort of the depth of what she and her kids must be feeling right now.
I'm not sure what your experience was getting in and out of Staples Center, but what was it like to be there and see this, not just this group of celebrities and basketball, who's who, but also the number of fans that were jammed inside the arena to be there for this day?
Yeah, and I showed up pretty early, and the way that media worked here is we kind of went in with the general public. So it was very unique for me, kind of being out on the street with everyone. And I came early. My colleagues didn't come early, and they literally wrapped around the convention center.
Wow.
And were very far back. And I mean, that's how many people were out, and everyone was wearing, jerseys. When I was walking out of the arena, we were sort of brushing shoulders with all kinds of people, including I walked by Michael Phelps when I was walking out of there, and he was, 100 people down on the most notable attendees. But I think it just shows you sort of this equalizing effect that mourning and grief has on us all. I mean, everyone was there for one reason, and to remember Kobe and Gianna and the other victims that died in that crash. So it was something kind of beyond words, just kind of standing in a field of people wearing, you know, gold, purple, black jerseys. It's just, it was a real unique setting.
Kyle Goon covers the Lakers, but was part of the group of thousands that were there inside Staples Center today, remembering Kobe Bryant. A couple of things that caught me off guard, certainly Michael Jordan. He doesn't talk much about his private life, his relationships, but to share as much as he did about Kobe Bryant as a little brother, and also with the humor. But then, and maybe I just missed it, Kyle, but to hear Rob Pelinka talk about the text he got from Kobe that morning while Kobe was on the chopper and was texting him and he was in church. Had you heard him tell that story before?
I had not. I had not heard that story before. And some of the stories about, you know, Kobe going fishing, Rob was talking about his own children and how much they missed Kobe because they went to the same school as Gianna. And every time Kobe saw them, he would pick them up and lift them over his head. And what I think when somebody of that stature dies, there's sort of this mythical, legendary quality that's sealed away, right? But I think what we got from even Rob today was sort of this grounding sense of Kobe was a dad. Kobe was a friend. Kobe was a husband. I mean, a husband who bought The Notebook and Rachel McAdams' dress from the movie The Notebook. But, you know, nonetheless, I mean, a very human person. And I think that's come out to a degree, but obviously since this has happened, we just haven't heard from Vanessa like this. We certainly haven't heard from Rob like this. Michael Jordan almost never talks.
Right.
And to a stunning degree, just the vulnerability he showed today, I'm not sure he's ever shown that publicly in his entire life. So I think it was a tremendous gesture to the memory of Kobe, not sort of this mythical figure, but this three-dimensional grounded person.
Mm. And Gianna, of course, wanting to be a WNBA star, first go to UConn, then play pro basketball. And it was really amazing to hear from some of the female players, some of the best of the best that Kobe has encouraged and supported, and these relationships that he had with players like Diana Taurasi and Sabrina Ionescu.
Yeah. And you know, it's been so hard to just feel positive about anything about the situation, right? It's so hard to find any kind of silver lining. And if there is one, I'm not even saying there is one, but if there is something good that can come out of this, it might just be sort of just how much Kobe's commitment to sort of seeing his daughter realize her dreams and Gianna's commitment to following that dream has kind of raised awareness about youth sports, women in sport. Obviously WNBA has been a huge part of this. Sabrina has been a huge part of this. And I think the visibility of this issue is just really high and people understand it and sympathize with it. And I think it was really cool to see, you know, Gino, Diana, Sabrina all talk today just sort of about how there's inspiration for them from Gianna and that they hope they can kind of take to that next generation and continue.
And I love how Vanessa Bryant said that Gianna was already committed to changing the WNBA. So she'd already written essays in school about how the pay disparity was wrong for NBA and WNBA players. That was amazing to hear this young woman who was obviously brought up to be strong and independent and to be confident. And yet she had her own ideas. She wasn't just Kobe Bryant's daughter.
Yeah, I mean, and that was something that, you know, I could sort of understand conceptually that she was that way. But I think today we watched so many highlights of the Mambas and not just Gianna, but Peyton and Sarah, who were also in the crash. And Vanessa told stories about how, you know, Gianna made a cake for Kobe for his birthday, for his 41st birthday, and how she spoke Mandarin and all these little details about sort of the independent person she was and was becoming, that just really fleshed out that side of that person we didn't know like we knew Kobe, and helped us all feel that.
Kyle Goon of Southern California News Group with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Almost surreal that hours later there was a basketball game held inside Staples Center.
Yeah. Yeah. And Clippers blew them out. I have to admit, I kind of took the evening off.
Sure.
We were getting up early to get to Staples, but I did see that the Clippers had a very big night against Memphis, and you know, Doc Rivers and a bunch of the Clippers coaches, including Sam Cassell, were all there, and I know that had to be part of what they were thinking about tonight. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody in the NBA and WNBA and throughout basketball is thinking about, you know, how would Kobe Bryant compete, and that's kind of been something in the last month that. We've learned a lot about how he approached not just the game, but his life and his passions, and chased them relentlessly. And it's a lot to think about, for sure.
You can find Kyle on Twitter if you want to. Did you post some pictures? I actually didn't have a chance to look at your Twitter. Okay, I'm going to have to check them out. And so I do, of course, have your Twitter up in front of me. I just didn't have a chance to look at it. At Kyle Goon, covering the Lakers for Southern California News Group. I know, as you mentioned, it was an early day to get to Staples. And also, here you are still talking to us, Kyle. So I really appreciate a couple of minutes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.